So perhaps because I have been thinking a lot about sailboats and rowboats lately, when I read this old familiar passage about being light to the world, about shining before others, I also thought about lighthouses. So if you think about it, the actual light in the lighthouse isn't all that big or significant. But thanks to lenses, reflectors, and rotators, the lamp high atop that tower can do a world of good for a ship at sea. So something relatively small, handled well, can make a big difference. Author Anne Lamott said in her book, Bird by Bird, lighthouses don't go running all over the island looking for boats to save. They just stand there shining. The job of a lighthouse is to stand there and shine. Our job as church, according to this teaching from Jesus in Matthew's gospel account, is to shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to God in heaven. Unfortunately, when I was doing a little research about lighthouses, I came upon some other thoughts. One by the highly quotable founding father, Benjamin Franklin. He said, "Lighthouses are more helpful than churches." Ouch. That hurts a little. But perhaps he had a point. Lighthouses have a clear purpose. They just stand there, and they shine, and they're infinitely helpful to many people. Lighthouses are lucky because they aren't made of humans, and they aren't at risk of losing sight of their purpose. That's not always the case for churches. Perhaps churches get lost in the business of being church, or forget why they are supposed to be shining and to whom the glory of and the gratitude for the light should be going. But Jesus is clear, at least through metaphor, in his Sermon on the Mount. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hidden. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand. And it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. That is a solid purpose. We are to shine the light of our good works in Christ to the world. You are the light of the world. Let your light shine. There are similar sayings about light in the gospel accounts of Mark and Luke, but there Jesus speaks of darkness and light in terms of whether or not his disciples could understand his parables. But here, Jesus identifies his disciples as the light of the world. It's not about Jesus himself or his teachings being the light. It's about the disciples' witness being the light. In Matthew, Jesus has just, through the Beatitudes, announced renewed realities about what it means to be blessed. And by using this metaphor of light, he attaches these realities to the lives of the disciples. The disciples are supposed to be visible as light on a lampstand, manifesting truth. And just to clarify for his listeners, he tells them that a city on a hill cannot be hidden, and a lit lamp should never be put under a basket. This talk of a city on a hill wouldn't have made the disciples think of John Winthrop or Ronald Reagan. It would have made these Jews recall the city of Jerusalem, from which it is believed that God's presence shines all over the world. So these disciples should understand that because they are visible to the world, they are meant to reflect the light of Christ to the world, just like a city shines on a hill. So Jesus elaborates with the city on the hill image, and then he takes it a step further. A lamp on a lampstand can light up a whole house. But no one would put a lamp under a bushel basket. I mean, it's absurd to think someone would light a lamp and put it under a basket where, one, it is rendered invisible, and two, it's dangerous. It's just not what you do with light. Light is meant to shine. When Jesus says, "You are the light of the world," he means that the disciples are meant to be the kind of community for which the world hungers. One where God's love and life illuminate and liberate. Honestly, though, I think I'm more comfortable talking about Jesus being the light of the world. But he says to his disciples, "You are the light of the world." After his whole teaching on the Beatitudes, I would certainly understand if the disciples resisted this label, light of the world. They might have thought that they were unworthy to be light to anyone, let alone the world. Still fairly new in their following of this guy Jesus, they might have wondered what they had gotten themselves into. The prophet Isaiah says, "Shout out, do not hold back. Your light shall break forth like the dawn. You are light." But perhaps Jesus knew the disciples would resist. Perhaps he could see it in their eyes in that moment, or he'd spent enough time with them just to know. So he continues with the city on the hill and the lamp on the stand talk. And when Jesus continues with this explanation, he's not telling his disciples that they are exceptional. He tells them this is real. The kingdom is joined with you. He also tells them, "Shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." That is a way of saying that this is not really about you. It's not about the good you do or the truth that you will bring. Yes, you are going to do good and bring truth, but you will do it so that others will see and give glory to God. So, disciples, if you are worried at all about this, the credit for light isn't even supposed to be yours. Just as Israel's vocation, as we read in the Hebrew scriptures, is to be a light to the nations, so too are the disciples called to function as a light to the world. The light that shines corresponds to the good deeds of the disciples. When you shine your light, people encounter God's presence. Here's another thing about light. It's not rare. Light is ordinary. So it is with followers of Christ. We are ordinary, just like those first disciples were. Pastor Christine Chikoyan says, "We are valuable, not because the world deems us a tradable commodity, or because we are rare and precious and costly. Rather, we are common, humble elements whose existence could well be overlooked." But still, light is essential to life. Light is good for the world, and its value is found in its usefulness. Like a lamp on a stand, that light can illuminate a whole house, and that light makes a number of other activities possible that could not be done in the dark. The thought of putting a lamp under a basket is not only absurd, it is dangerous. Hiding the light of a lamp is a reckless misunderstanding of what a lamp is, how it works, and what it is for. When the prophet Isaiah declares, "Shout out, do not hold back," it is like the charge not to hide your light under a basket. Jesus says, "Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works." These good works are found in Isaiah's prophecy. He tells the people that they have indeed practiced righteousness, but it seems that they have only gone through the motions of all the rituals of religion. So the prophet contrasts the mere religious ritual of fasting with the kind of service that God desires. What does God desire? Isaiah tells us a fast that produces good works. "Is not this the fast that I choose? To loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover them and not to hide yourself from your own kin, then your light shall break forth like the dawn." You, we hear from Jesus and the prophet, are not made to be hidden. You are made to be shining, for illumination, for giving light to all the house. You are made for shining by loosing the bonds of injustice and sharing your bread with the hungry. You are not made to be hidden. You are made for shining. This is a mission that, if taken seriously, would fundamentally shift how we plan our days, both in terms of what we do and how we do it. We take on this mission. We do good works. We shine not for status or to earn favor, but because doing so is the same as being who you really are. You do it because that is exactly what you were made to do. Jesus teaches the disciples that they are the light of the world to help them understand their identity and the kind of life they are called to. This identity is formed so that they may stand out and provide influence and orientation for people in the midst of the world. The disciples are called light of the world. The light is good for the world. Its value is in its usefulness. Though we may, like the disciples, resist the label light of the world, that is who we are. That is exactly what we were made to do. So we shine. Our goal then is not to be valuable by the world's standards. Many churches judge their value by the ABCs, attendance, buildings, and cash. The world says that we find our value in the size of our budget, our staff, and our programs. But Jesus doesn't say anything about those things. He says we were made to shine through our good works. Our goal as church, like a lamp on a stand or a city on a hill or a lighthouse on the shore, is to be beneficial, useful, and life-giving to the world. I hope, we're a long way both theologically and chronologically from the measure of how many souls were saved in worship today. But we still look at other churches with slick online presence or high-tech worship spaces and pews or chairs filled with members who possess much power and worth in the world's eyes. But faithful disciples can be found attending megachurches filled to the brim and tiny rural congregations that make sure their elderly neighbors are regularly visited and modest suburban churches exploring what it means to be good neighbors to the refugees and immigrants nearby. Faithful disciples can be found among titans of commerce and among the unemployed, serving those who are in at least as much difficulty as they are, and among retired folks who week in and week out are committed to ensuring that their neighbors have enough food to eat. Our successes or our effectiveness as disciples is not found in the ABCs or any other worldly measure. Our goal is to give glory to God, not to ourselves, to live in a way that allows us to shine the light and share the light of God's grace, mercy, and love. If we say we are followers of Jesus, but have hidden Christ's light under buildings, bureaucracy, and budgets, then we have robbed the world of God's good gift of life-giving light. We were not made to be hidden. We were made for shining. Doing good works, shining Christ's light, is a matter of being who we really are as individuals and as a church. Jesus does not tell his disciples, "You will be the light of the world," as if to suggest that God will make this happen sometime in the future or in the completion of time. Jesus does not write out goals and objectives to encourage measurable outcomes. He says, "You are the light of the world." Just be the light. Just shine. Instead of seeing what we as individuals or as the church are not, or what we hope to be someday, or what we once were back in the glory days, we should explore what it means to be light right now. What dark corners of the world need the light that we have to shine? What does it look like to shine right now? As we are in today's world. That is behind our question during the 40 days of prayer. What is God calling St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church to be and do now? How are we meant to shine here and now? In our prayer, we are better able to see the Spirit at work. And when we see the Spirit at work, we are grateful. Our gratitude then can take the form of testimony, not in the old Baptist testify sense, but in the sense that we are so thankful that we want to share how we have seen God's work in someone's life, within the church, or in the world outside the church. Simple, honest, true testimony is telling about where and how we have seen God at work in the world and in the lives of people we encounter. This testimony is one way to shine the light. Jesus told us not to hide the light under a bushel. Why then would we want to hide the truth of God's grace, love, and mercy at work in the world? This kind of testimony is a way to shine so that God is given the glory. Light may not be glamorous, but it is valuable. Light is life-giving and useful for the well-being of the world. If we truly are shining Christ's light in the world, if we as the church live as the light of the world, then I believe we can prove Benjamin Franklin wrong. We can be as helpful as a lighthouse, shining Christ's light in the world. We can be better than a lighthouse because God can transform the world through us. We, the church, are the light of the world. We were not made to be hidden. We were made for shining. And so now to the one who by the power at work within us is able to do far more abundantly than all we can ask or imagine, to God be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen.